Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. My beloved, today the reading of the Gospel comes to us from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 5, where the Holy Spirit reveals to us the great mystery of how it is that the Lord revealed His divinity in the healing of the man who was paralyzed and who was let down through the roof by his four friends. There is something beautiful for us to be able to meditate on, and that's specifically about how it is that the Lord allows our relationships with each other to bring healing to other people. There is something to be recognized about how it is that these four people who loved this man who was paralyzed, who was sick, who was ill, and how it is that the only way that he had access to Christ was through their love. The only way that they had access, that he had access to healing, was through the offering of their friendship, the real friendship. That a man was capable of being healed and come into the presence of God because of the freely expressed love and compassion of other people. This man was healed and a miracle was done and God's glory was revealed only because four people decided that they were going to act lovingly. But I want to bring to your attention today how it is that the opposite is also true. That in the same way that people can be brought into the presence of God through our freely chosen actions of love, the same way that people can be torn away from the hands of God because of our actions of evil. You see, the free choice that was given to humanity is one that is very dangerous. With it, you can do something beautiful, and with it, you can hurt people. With your free will, you can choose to be like God, or with your free will, you can choose to be the enemy of God. The human being has the potential to be like God, and he has the potential to be the complete opposite of all that God is. These four people were capable of fulfilling a commandment even before Christ spoke it. When Christ was speaking to his disciples, what did he tell them about how people will know that they are his disciples? He says, "By this they will know that you are my disciples, that if you love one another." They will know that you belong to me if you love one another. But forgive me, the opposite is also true. That if we do not love each other, then they will know that we do not belong to Him. And they will know that no matter how much we say that we are Christian, and no matter how many necklaces I wear that have crosses on them, and no matter how many tattoos of crosses I have on my wrist, they will know that I do not belong to Him because I do not love the way He has told me to love. I want to share with you something that St. John Chrysostom says. He says this during the period of Lent, but it applies to every period where we are fasting. St. John says, "What good is it if we abstain from eating the flesh of animals? What good is it if we abstain from eating meat and poultry, and yet we devour the flesh of our brothers and sisters?" What does that mean? How do we devour the flesh of our brothers and sisters? How long have all communities, I'm not going to say just ours, but how long have we been suffering from the fact that we do not know how to control this? How long have we been biting each other with our words behind each other's back? How long have we given in to slander and to gossip and to hatred and to spreading rumors? And why? For entertainment. Why? Because I have nothing better to do than to speak of another. How long have we been using this to be able to spread the faults of people rather than praising them and elevating them? How long have we been putting each other down with our words rather than raising each other up? How long have we been using this to tear each other away from God rather than being like these four who bring each other into God's presence? Now, some of you might hear me say this today and say, Abuna Yani, this is an exaggeration. Since when have we torn people away from God with the way that we speak? Well, let me ask you, when you decide to speak to your innocent brother and sister about a person who is not there with you, when I decide that I am going to gossip and slander my brother who is not present to another brother or sister, am I not causing my other brother and sister to sin? Am I not inviting that person to participate with me in this gossip, in this hatred, in this anger? Am I not taking my brother away from the presence of God when I should be bringing him into the presence of God? So let me tell you what the devil is doing right now as we speak. As we speak right now, the devil is whispering in each and every one of our ears and saying what? He's reminding us of all the people that we wish were here to hear this message. He's reminding us of everyone that, oh, I really hope they hear today's sermon. He's going to make you and me think that somehow this sermon and these words apply to everyone else, but not to you. If you're here and you're sitting here, it applies to you. And if you're here and you're hearing this, I don't care how, through YouTube, at home sitting, later on, 5 years from today, the Holy Spirit wants you to hear this the same way that the Holy Spirit wants me to hear it, even as I speak it. These words apply to all of us because all of us are members in the body of Christ. St. John Chrysostom says we devour each other's flesh through our words. We tear our brother apart. How many homes have been disturbed because of the gossip and slanders of people? How many reputations have been destroyed? How many relationships have been torn apart? How many children have stopped coming to church because others have spoken about them? You know what is very heartbreaking? When we see our little children at 5, at 6, and at 7 years old, they begin to do like we do. From the littlest of ages, what do children learn? That as soon as someone bothers me, let me speak badly about them. It begins with something very little, where children will look at each other and say, what? You're not my friend anymore. It begins with something very innocent. And then when that friend is not there, they go and tell their other friends, let's not be friends with so-and-so. Now, as adults, we look at that and what do we say? Liya Habibi, don't do that. Love, hug, come, make it better. Isn't that what we do with our children? Why do our children keep redoing it? Why do our children grow up and continue in this way of encouraging others to join them against another person? Is it possible that maybe they see it in us? Is it possible that they have learned this behavior from those that are constantly placed in the front of them as an example? Is it possible that we allow it in our homes? Is it possible they hear our conversations when we're on the phone and we think they're not paying attention? Is it possible they know the intentions of our heart when we speak of that family member that we cut off and we no longer want to speak of because one day in July of 1984, this person did XYZ? Is it possible that our children have been learning everything from us and so they repeat it at a young age? That when that 5-year-old or that 6-year-old grow up and become 13 and 14 and they continue with this behavior, you know what we call that child if they continue at that age? We call them a bully, because they destroy the reputations and the hearts and the intentions of their brothers and sisters with their words. I cannot begin to express to you how many people have come to servants and to priests and to bishops and told them, I no longer come to church because one day somebody said this one thing and everyone joined them and believed them. These four men in the gospel today decided that they were going to go against their comfort. They were going to go against what was easy for them to choose, to mind their own business. They decided that they were going to take a friend who needed the presence of Christ, and they were going to find a way to bring that person into God's presence. And yet, with my sin, I tear people away from God's hands. I push people away from the house of God. I give them a reason to look back and to say, I don't want to belong to this community. This cannot be how we remain. And if this is what it looks like right now for us to be Christians, then no wonder people are not running to churches and saying, I want to believe in the God that you believe in. I am the greatest stumbling block in my church. I am the greatest source of evil in every relationship that I have. I am the one who needs to repent in every possible outcome. The change has to happen with me. I have to watch the fires that I set ablaze with my tongue. I have to become like one of these four who brings others into the presence of Christ. Not who tears them away by the things I say uselessly. Saint Anthony the Great, he's teaching his disciples, and he tells them slander simply is to speak evil of a brother in his absence that we would never speak in his presence. Saint Anthony, 4th century. Slander is to speak evil of a brother in his absence that we would never speak in his presence. So sometimes there are people who are arrogant like me, and what do they say? No, I would tell him to his face. Tab habibi, that's good for you that you would tell him to his face. That just makes you rude. That just makes you impolite and disrespectful. That just makes you a bad person. Don't be proud of the fact that you would say this to the person's face. Don't be arrogant in your evil. Don't be proud of your sin. If I sit there and say I would tell that to their face, that doesn't make me bold. That makes me foolish. That makes me a person who would willfully choose sin over choosing righteousness. Imagine, if every one of us decided today, the few of us that are here, imagine if every one of us decided that from here on in, every time somebody begins a conversation with me about someone who is not there, that I would decide and resolve in my heart that immediately I would stop and say, I don't want to speak about the person if he's not here. Imagine if every single one of us, the few of us that are here, decided to do this with each other out of respect and out of love and say, the person's not here, I don't want to speak about them. Imagine what that would do. Imagine if our kids heard us say that to each other. Imagine if we encouraged this behavior through our own actions and our children began to mimic it. Imagine 20 years from now what this community would look like. Imagine what this church would look like. Imagine what our homes would look like. Imagine the pain that we will have erased because we decided to take a stand against the sin. Every righteous decision we make begins with me saying, I will begin with me. I will not speak of a person who is not present, and I will not tolerate to be spoken to of a person who is not present. Why can't we just agree that choosing to be like these four people is the best possible way for us to change our homes and our community? Now, for some of us, we might think and say this is not a big deal. It's not a big sin. It's not as bad as murder or theft. It's not as bad as adultery or lust or greed. Says who? Have you ever read the book of St. James? Where James, the apostle, very clearly says that the fires of hell are what ignite the tongue of the human being who sins. How this little member of the body is capable of causing wars, of causing divorces, of causing separations and fights and conflict and generational issues that never end, all through what? One conversation that somebody should have told him, be quiet. One conversation where I should have told myself, iskut khalas. If I would have told myself this so many times in my life, how much pain would I have avoided, both for myself and for others? Look at these four men today, please, I beg you. Look at these four men and decide that we want to be like them. That instead of pulling people away from God, we want to find a way forcibly to bring people into His presence. That we will not tear each other down, that we will raise each other up. That we will find a way to truly be like Christ said, that by the love we have for each other, they will know that we are His disciples. I encourage all of us today, if we have ever done this, then let's repent. If we have done this in front of our children, let us confess to our children that we were wrong in doing that and that we will try to do better. And if we have spoken badly of anyone, let us ask for forgiveness. That we may be able to destroy the devil among us. That we may be able to slaughter the one who begins to do evil among us. So that we can be healed, both personally and at the level of our church and our community and our homes and our relationships. May the God of all glory give to us that we may become like these who have come and who have brought the loved ones that they have in His presence. To Him be all glory now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.